Warmest greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is wonderful to be back here, seeing so many familiar faces. I remember the last time I spoke, I looked at many of the teens, and I say, all of you have grown up so much. And it's still the same statement that I have. Well, time flies, and how quickly we see our children grow. We see white hair on our own heads growing as well. And as we age, we begin to ask, year after year after year, what is new in this year for us? I was asked to speak and given a choice to either continue on your series or to choose a topic. So after some consideration, the Lord led me to think about preaching on things about the new year. Since it is still January, I think it allows me to preach about the new year. Let us turn to our text, Exodus chapter 12, please. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. We will consider by God's grace verses 1 and 2. Let me read the word of God to us once again. Exodus chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us turn to him in prayer. Our most gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, we come approaching thy throne of grace once again, Lord, to seek thy face, to seek thy blessing, thy goodness and thy mercy to be upon us. And Father, we come acknowledging that we have sinned against you through the week. Lord, show to us wherein we have sinned. Lord, that we may confess, that we may repent. We desire, O Father, that you would search us, show us, and Lord, to cleanse us in the precious blood of our Savior. O Father, we desire that we have unbroken fellowship with you now in the moments to follow in your holy scriptures. We approach you asking that you would teach us. Lord, open our hearts, give us obedient hearts. Lord, the words of men can do nothing to transform lives. We only depend on your holy word. Teach us thy way, O Lord. Hear this our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Look at verse 1. Here is the Lord speaking to Moses and Aaron. And this passage tells us that these words were given while they were still in the land of Egypt. So the Lord God turned to Aaron, turned to Moses and said, while they were in the land of Egypt, what was the background? Now, this would be the final night for the children of Israel. After 400 years in this land as slaves, working for Pharaoh, generations after generations after generations, longing and yearning, wondering when they would ever leave this land of Egypt, the land of bondage. And it is in this night, the night before they left, that the Lord God would turn to Moses and Aaron and say these words. Look at verse 2. Now the Lord God would tell these two men, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. It is an interesting consideration for us. Now, after all these years, the Lord has been preparing them to leave the land. The Lord has been preparing the promised land for them, to take them to this wonderful, wonderful place to fulfill their purpose. But you would wonder, why? Now, why on the night when they were going to be taken by the Lord to the promised land after these many hundreds of years, of all the things that the Lord can talk to them about? The Lord can talk to them about looking forward to how beautiful the land is, and he did before that. The Lord could tell them about the journey by which they will take, the route they will take. The Lord could talk to them about the promise, his covenant, about how he would fulfill it tonight. And this also is the time where they would have seen 9 wonderful, amazing miracles that the Lord has performed. The Lord could talk about many, many different things to Aaron and to Moses. Now, if you think of you and your family, right, you've been planning for a holiday trip for many, many years, looking forward to your child grows up and then they're at the right age, you can bring them on this journey with you. And after all these years of planning, the night before you take the trip, what would you be thinking about? What would you be talking about to your children? You may be talking about, well, how you've been planning, all the wonderful things to look forward to. But like I said, of all the things, the Lord God chose to speak to Moses and Aaron about this. Simply about, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. You say, Moses, Aaron, we are leaving tonight. And this particular month that you are in the land of Egypt, from now on, this will be the first month for you all. What does the first month mean? Well, he elaborates, it shall be the first month of the year to you. In other words, God is saying, guys, we are going to leave, but I want you to count from now onwards a new calendar for yourself. This is your first month. In effect, the Lord is saying, I am giving the children of Jacob the land that I'm going to take them to. From now on, I'm giving them a new calendar. Get that. Before you take this journey, a new calendar is given to the children of Israel, among everything else that the Lord could do. So he said, this month is the beginning. Now, what month would this be? Most people understand this would be about the month of April, March to April. That would be the time frame according to our current calendar month. All right. So about springtime. And this month would be called Abib to them. Abib. Some of you are familiar with that, but some of you also wonder. But I also remember that sometimes in the Old Testament, the first month, the calendar month for the Jews, it's also called Nisan. Now, it's the same. Abib, from now onwards, the new calendar, Abib will be your, well, our equivalent of January, I guess. Abib to you, first month, called Abib. Now, after the children of Israel were taken into captivity, the name was changed to Nisan. So both Abib and Nisan are still the names of the first month of the Jewish calendar. All right, so don't be confused. It's just the Chaldean name, Nisan, came about. Those of you who drive Nissan cars, all right? So you say, every time you see Nissan, oh, the Hebrew name or the Chaldean name for the first month of the children of Israel's calendar, but it's spelled with one S, not two S. So it was also called Nissan. So from God tells them, his children, from now onwards, new calendar. Why? Why the new calendar? Why don't just keep the Egyptians' calendar when they leave? It's confusing, isn't it? In fact, that is the whole purpose. God wanted them, so to speak, to be confused. How so? Now, the children of Israel have been living there for hundreds of hundreds of years through many generations. It means that they are so used to how, or rather, what they do every month in Egypt. So Egypt, like every other pagan world or pagan nation, would have their calendar of religious festivals, will have their calendar of various national festivals, celebrations. So just like Singapore, we have different months, different celebration, right? We are one of the countries in the world where we have many public holidays, more than many other countries, because of the different races, the different religions have different holidays. So we have many, many holidays. So every time when it comes to, like for now, January is Chinese New Year, right? So we observe the Chinese New Year, we celebrate it, we enjoy it. And then comes another month, there'll be, well, the Deepavali, and then there'll be, well, for the Christians, there'll be Easter, there'll be Good Friday, then there'll be Christmas, and for the Buddhists, all sorts of different celebrations. Now, for them, they've been growing up in this environment where whenever it comes to this particular month, there will be worship of the sun god. When it comes to this month, in fact, around this time, or rather, how the Egyptians typically start their year, as most historians understand it, is when River Nile overflows. means it's it's a good time because they're going to get a lot of water for farming. So overflowing, so it's a new year for them. So every different month, the Egyptians will be celebrating something. A certain month is the time to worship the goat, the cows, or the bullocks. As in another month, they will worship certain gods that bring fertility to their land. In fact, they worship the frog, right? The fertility god has a frog head. So they worship all those. So before the Lord took them out of the land of Egypt, knowing that his children have been so used to the various celebrations whenever it comes to those months, the families may be involved in those things. What the Lord wanted to make sure, the reason why he gave them a new calendar, is to make sure that from now onwards, when they leave, when they enter the promised land especially, all the things that they used to follow in Egypt would be forgotten. So literally it's to confuse them. Say, which month is this? After some time, they will completely, the desire is that to forget rather than to respond whenever it's the month, time to worship River Nile. All these things might come back to them. So the key reason why the Lord wanted to give them a calendar, a new one, is to ensure that they will put aside, they will erase from their memories, from their mind, from their hearts, whatever they have learned about keeping festivals, especially the religious ones, how they've grown up in those environments, and to start their life totally afresh and anew with this living God. You must not forget. Now for us, we've been Christian a long time. Many of you grew up in Christian families. You do not understand some who have grown up in pagan families. Many of you have the privilege from very young to attend Sunday school. Your life is surrounded by Christians. You may not fully understand those who grew up in Buddhist background, Hindu background, even Muslim background. You do not understand the things that they have been ingrained, things that have been ingrained in their lives, that have become part of them. You do not understand that. Now, these children of Israel, generation after generation, you have to understand that at this point, when the Lord spoke to them in the land of Egypt, this generation have only recently been introduced to Jehovah. They have forgotten him. That's why even when Moses was sent, Moses will ask, now you send me to these people. Who am I going to say who you are that have sent me? And the Lord simply says, the famous statement, I am that I am. They have only just been reintroduced to their God. They have been growing up among all the myriads, innumerable number of different gods in Egypt. So it's not a small thing. We must realize that. So number one, to make them forget, to start anew with this God and say, this is our God. And from now on, he's going to give them a new calendar. And in this new calendar, there'll be many, many different festivals. We will see that later on. But still on this point about making them forget. What must they forget? What must they put aside? When the Lord performed his miracles, the 10 of them, plague after plague after plague. Now, each one, the Lord was very selective. It is not random. The Lord did not turn the water into blood. The Lord did not bring these innumerable frogs to be a pest to the land, the locusts, the insects, the sun that turned dark. Now, the Lord did not do these miracles randomly. They were specially chosen to teach the children of Israel certain key lessons. Not only it was to force the Egyptians to come to a state that they want the children of Israel to leave. It was a double-edged sword. On the other hand, the Lord wanted to make sure his children learn certain lessons. What were they? Remember, the Lord wanted them to forget all these festivals. Now, many of these festivals are related to their gods. They worship River Nile because their lives depended on River Nile. if River Nile dries up, or River Nile is infested with bacteria, their farming will suffer. Their only source of major source of water will suffer. Their lives will suffer. Their livestock will die. So they literally worship and pray to this River Nile, their god. They also worship, as I mentioned early on, the gods of fertility, the frogs. The frogs. Now, why did God turn River Nile into blood? It's to show the Egyptians, number one, your gods are nothing. They are all false gods. But at the same time, to teach his children, you guys have been worshipping with them, the River Nile. But now I have just introduced myself to you as the Almighty and Living God, the one and living true God. And he said, with that, you see what I do. What's the point of worshipping River Nile? Then he said, the frogs that you worship, you think they are signs of fertility. Your animals, your livestock, they will multiply. Your wives will have many children. They say, look at your gods. They're here to plague you. Then there were the insects that they worship also. They eat up your crops. I can control them, but you pray to them. But I'm the controller of them. How many of you can control insects? You can't even control a cockroach. In summer, there are a lot of cockroaches in Australia. All the insects come up because it's 40 over degrees, so they come up for relief. And it's always a frightening time for me because I don't like cockroaches. And somehow, cockroaches, when they see me, they run towards me. I don't know why. Right? Then I always think of the plague. How God can control these things. They insects, all the houseflies, they're everywhere. You wish you can control them. You can't control them. Then you think of how God controls all these insects. It's amazing. So God says, you worship all these things, but yet I control them. I am the living and true God. What else? They would worship the sun. You know the famous sun god of the Egyptians, right? They worship the sun. They believe that the sun is their source of energy for their plants, for their growth of their farming and all that. So they depend on the sun. If there's no sun, they also have a problem. So they worship, they pray to the sun. They will sacrifice their children to the sun. And yet God would turn the day into darkness, day after day. And God even allowed only his children to have light. Why did God select all this? Now, all these different situations, they were all gods that the Egyptians worship. And the children of Israel have probably also learned their ways. Different months, different God. Turn to different gods. The Lord have to make sure, say, now I am your God. I'm taking you out of this land. From now onwards, you do not need to depend on any of these gods, so-called gods that you have always depended on, that you've always turned to, you've always relied on, that you always thought were gods. I have shown you over this period who God is, and I am the Lord your God. So when you reach the promised land, forget about all these calendars that you have kept. Erase them. Get them out of your system. Have nothing to do in your society with any of these dates that you used to keep anymore. That is why he says, Moses, Aaron, tell the children of Israel, this night onwards, you have a new calendar. It is not for fun. It is not, well, I don't like their months. I don't like those. Okay, let's start counting from now. No, it has a very purposeful spiritual lesson for the children of Israel. When the children of Israel entered the promised land, very sadly, they did not learn. They continued over time to begin to go back to many of their idols, to idol worship. Instead of having remembered that the Lord God had given them a new calendar, new religious festivals, he did all this, he's proven to us that he is the God, and yet they went back to depending on all this sun god, insects, animals, and so on. The Lord had to deal with them severely. The Lord had to chastise them. The Lord says, I've shown you, and I've done all this and given you a new calendar, but yet you want to go back to depend on all this that you were used to. Then I'll let you be. The Lord left them alone. Their crops suffered. Their lives suffered. Their livestock suffered. Their life suffered. But sadly, very often, the Lord chastised them. They come back, and then they go back again to their old ways. What can we learn from this? The Lord did not give them a new calendar and just simply say, all right, so now Abib and so on, so on. Next 12 months is just change of names of the month. No, the Lord did not simply change names. Now, from there onwards, in Numbers chapter 28 and 29, the Lord did not just give them new calendar, but every of the month. In fact, every of the year, the Lord now began to put in new religious festivals that are unique only to the children of Israel. So the Lord did not just remove and then give them new names, but every new month had its new significance from there on. So those of you who are familiar with the book of Numbers, you will know these two chapters, 28 and 29. The Lord is going to give them new daily sacrifices that they will observe, that they never had. So new daily sacrifices will begin. In fact, it began in the wilderness. Remember, the Lord gave them the tabernacle, name of your church. When the Lord gave them the tabernacle, the very specific dimensions, building everything, that's one thing that the Lord has to settle first and foremost, the tabernacle. And remember how they were not randomly organized after that. After the Lord gave them the tabernacle in the wilderness, the Lord told them, gave them exact directions on how the tribes will live around the tabernacle. Remember how they arranged, which tribe where, north, south, east, west, everything. And you will notice one thing about the arrangement. What is in the middle? The tabernacle. The lesson was that now their lives were to surround around the tabernacle. Their lives would now revolve around the tabernacle. Daily, monthly, weekly, monthly, yearly, everything will be around the tabernacle. It's a good name for a church, the tabernacle. Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian. The question is this: are you worshippers and members here? Does your life revolve around Tabernacle BP? Or does it revolve around something else? So after settling the tabernacle, the Lord made sure that they had the sacrifices daily. Every day, the priests will have their sacrifices. And then not only every day, the daily sacrifices, then the Lord makes sure that every month, the Lord gave them direction. When you enter the land of Egypt, now, every month, you are going to have certain sacrifices. So the families will gather. They will bring their sacrifices every month. And then when it comes to certain months, especially now, we are talking about this first month. This first month, for those of you who are familiar with chapter 12, you know what it is. This will be the night of the Passover, right? They are leaving the land of Egypt. This will be the night in which the Lord will give them the Passover. That's why the Holy Communion, we always say, the Holy Communion has replaced the Passover, right? And every time we say, on the night in which the Lord was betrayed, and here, on the night in which the Lord would deliver them, be the lamb, give them the sacrificial lamb, that is the night they will kill the lamb, put the blood on their doorpost. That's why it's called the Passover. So this beginning of the year, that first month, they're supposed to keep the Passover. So different months, different thing. And in fact, within this month, different days of the month, they have different celebrations again, different festivals again. So you notice that the Lord kept giving them new festivals, new festivals, new festivals. The Lord did not let them be idle. I give for Abib, and then, all right, Abib, that's it, let's move. No. He said, Abib, on which day, what kind of things you'll be doing? Then on the sixth month, on the seventh month, again, some more things. So within the year, again, every year, certain months, they have certain celebrations over and over again. And the Lord says, from now onwards, for you and your children, you will observe that when you enter the promised land. So when they entered the promised land, they had not only a new calendar, but every month they had new activities to replace everything that they have learned. And every of this activity was to draw their hearts back to this God. Every of these activities were to ensure that they have fellowship with this God. That is the purpose. The new months were given. Chinese New Year is coming. And many of us, we enter a new year. But sometimes I speak to senior Christians, older Christians, who've grown up in Buddhist background. And sometimes I still get a bit surprised because many of these Christians, they continue to carry their superstitions into their new Christian life. You know what I mean? The Lord wanted all their believers to put aside all the superstitions that they used to have. They had many superstitions, all right? That's for sure. Likewise for us today, my friends, after we are saved, we have to remember. We may be brought up in that environment, but we have to be very careful. We do not carry some of these superstitions into our new Christian walk. I just want to say a few words about this because Chinese New Year is here. Now, many of us actually unconsciously bring these superstitions across. How many of you have grew up in families that parents tell you, it's Chinese New Year tomorrow, cannot sweep the house tonight, right? Superstitions, cannot. Why? Because you sweep away all the good luck. So the night before, no cleaning, no sweeping, right? The superstitions there are. Some of us still hang all the red banners outside our house, right? Why red? Because red chases away, as I understand, chases away evil spirits. So the evil spirits see the red cloth on top of your door, they don't come in. Oh, it's supposed to draw good luck, I don't know. It all has to do with luck and all those. What about some of us? Chinese New Year, so we cook all sorts of food, right? Many of us carry this superstition across. What kind of food do we eat? Hou si, right? Hou si, you know Cantonese, hou si. We must cook hou si. Hou si means what? It sounds like hou si means good things, right? All these prosperous symbols. Cook hou si. And then we have what? We have fat toy. I must have fat toy. Why? Because it is about wealth, having wealth. And then we must make sure we serve what? Yao yu. Right or not? Yao yu. Yao yu means, yao yu is cuttlefish, right? Means, it sounds like having extra, excess, abundance. So all these things, don't be surprised that many Christians, even as they become Christians, they carry these superstitions across. Or at home you have all those sweets that are in gold coins. I have a lot of them. Or then we always have the famous lo hei, right? Lo hei, lo hei means you do business and then you become very rich, and become very prosperous. All those kind of things. We do a lot of this. Now, don't mistake me. If you like to eat those things, by all means, cook it. All right? And some things I know is the best time to buy now because they're freshest, whatever. You eat it, fine. But don't be superstitious about it. All right, don't go to people's house, hosi, they're superstitious. It's simply because they like to eat hosi, and that's the freshest time, you know, and that's the only time you can buy fat choy. But if someone hang a pineapple, then you know there's something wrong, right? Pineapple means what? Ong lai means, the king is coming, right? So if they're hanging pineapple, that's too much. But you want to eat pineapple, you want to eat all these things, you want to cook, by all means. But don't do it because you're superstitious. Because you think that these things will bring good luck. Okay, so I'm not saying after this you go every house and you start judging each other. What I'm saying is you yourself don't do it out of all these desire. The children of Israel were like that. Even after they left, God said, forget all these things. Why you want to depend on Hosea to make you rich? Why do you depend on the sun? I am your God. You see, many of us, when we have all this superstition, we are really telling God, God, you know, God, I worship you, but I don't know whether you're powerful enough or not. Then Chinese New Year is the time I better add some more power to my life and to my family, to my children's blessing. The children of Israel were exactly like that. God gave them a new calendar to erase those things. Now, I'm not saying now it's a new calendar for Christians, so we should not have Chinese New Year. Not. We have to know when we keep all these things, we have to be careful not to bring in the superstition, the religious connotations, and all those things in to our practices. God wants us to forget those things. Don't depend on those things. There's nothing wrong with visiting relatives. There's nothing wrong with giving red packet. I'm sure the children are glad I'm saying that, right? Maybe the adults who wish I say, no, shouldn't give red packet anymore. But don't give it to promote greed. All right? Don't give it to promote greed. What's the best way to give it? Put a track in it. They have to receive your ang pao, right? You normally give them track, they don't receive. Now it comes with the ang pao. Right? So they have to look at the track. So Sharon and I, we like to put tracks in it. So it doesn't show that, oh, I'm going to give you money. No, I want you to know the Lord and I give you a love gift. So young people, give your parents a love gift. Right? It is a love gift. So you do it for those reasons, not for reasons of greed and all that. I know some of you say, but shouldn't give red, right? Red means all this superstitious thing. Now this ang pao, they come in pink, they come in blue, they come in all sorts of color. So if you think it's so strong a connotation to the person, get a different color. Right? No one will complain as long as you give out of love. So we go into these things, but don't become superstitious. So please remember, as Christians, we can carry all these things into our lives also. Some Christians at this time, they would say, once a year, never mind, I bow to my ancestor. Once a year, never mind, I will go to the temple. Once a year, never mind, I will eat food offered to idols. Never. The children of Israel basically went into the promised land thinking that they still need to keep this old calendar to be safe. And God says, since you don't trust me, I'll let you have your way and see whether you will prosper. And they suffered. It will happen to us. When we refuse to leave all these things, it will happen to us. The Lord said, then you want to trust in the world, you want to trust in all these things, you trust in them. But I want to bring us to something else also. This new calendar that God gave to the children of Israel, it is from then on a new one. A new one. Means from then on, it's totally different name. So they remember last time, Abib was a different name. This was every name of the month is new to them. From then on. The thing about many of us when it comes to New Year is like that. Oh, this is New Year, I want to make new resolutions. Then new resolutions, then new resolutions, and we keep breaking them. But this New Year for the children of Israel was not something that is going to be new every year. It is something that is going to be a permanent change. From now onwards, this is a permanent new change in your life. It's not next year, I hope, something new again. No. What do I mean? For the children of Israel, when they enter the promised land with this new calendar, they are going to have totally new routines. So one of the things that is going to change their lives is new routines. Every day, there is the sacrifice. Every week, there are different sacrifices. Every month, different sacrifices. Different time of the year, different particular festival. Each has its own significance. We won't cover that. But each has its own significance. In other words, now, every day, the children of Israel has a new timetable, a new schedule, a new thing that they will be doing that they did not used to do in the past. In fact, what they used to do in the past, they're going to stop doing, and they're going to start doing something that is new to them altogether, and it's going to be for the rest of their lives. My friends, I ask you, the Lord has delivered you and I out of our Egypt, the world, out of Satan's bondage. After our deliverance, the Lord also gives us a new calendar. Not that we don't follow January, February anymore, but the significance is not the name of the month. Remember that. It's not the name of the month. The significance is what they will do day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, from now onwards, is going to be different. That is the significance. The content of their routine is going to be changed. So I want to ask you, has that happened to you since you have been saved? Has there been a change in your routine, in your life, that has been permanent, that is no longer what you used to do while you were in Egypt? That is a lesson that God was teaching the children of Israel. No more that life. No more that life. A new life. New creature. New life in Christ. I'm afraid that many of us miss this point. The children of Israel must not miss this point. After you and I are saved, have the routine changed? Have your life changed? Has this new calendar taken over your life? In the sense where now daily you have your sacrifices. What is the daily sacrifice equivalent of the New Testament believer's life? What is that? Every day you bring an animal to kill and then find Elder John to burn it? Is that what we do? Every month, every worship we do that? No. Now the daily sacrifices that we offer ourselves as priests, we approach the Holy of Holies ourselves. What is that sacrifice? It's our daily devotion. Our daily devotion with the Lord. Our daily confession. Our daily prayer. These sacrifices will go up as sweet-smelling savour to the Lord, as fragrance to the Lord's nostril, raising up prayers to Him, seeking forgiveness for the children of Israel, for themselves as priests. The daily prayer. Our daily devotion, reading God's Word, the Lord speaking to us. This daily routine now takes over the life of the children of Israel. Do you see that? That is why they have the new calendar, not just new dates, new practices. That must happen. So my friends, this new routine, is it in your life? Is it in my life? Or is the same life still continuing? The old calendar, the old life. Oh, every day we wake up, it is time to watch TV, right? The seniors? Okay, every day. You have your new calendar. It is in 电视周刊. That's your calendar. You follow that. Is it still called 电视周刊? I don't know what. 7 days every week? I don't know. No, it used to be that, my time. It's your TV timetable. Right? That's your calendar. And then you follow that routine. Well, that was before you were saved. But after salvation, that God that you have in the middle of your room. You know what's the altar, right? It's called the television. The television is in the middle of everybody's room. You go to people's house, you know what is their God. All right? So a lot is, they have their altar right at the entrance, right? For many of us, our altar is the television, right, in the middle of the hall. Right? We worship that. We have that routine. Now that life has to go now. The Lord says, forget those idols. Those things that used to grip you, preoccupy you, take up your time. New calendar, new activities, new routine, those are gone. What do you spend your time doing? What's this new routine? Remember, they also have their weekly, monthly. Same for us. That's why I say, perfect name, Tabernacle BP. Their lives with this new calendar surrounded the life of the tabernacle. The children of Israel, when they move into Israel, their life surrounded the temple. The believer's life after salvation surrounds, in a sense, the church life. Every week, we have our worship service. Now, that is a non-negotiable. It's in the Ten Commandments. You don't break that. The Lord gave that calendar. What do you do on Sundays? After worship, okay, done my part already, time to go shopping, time to go to East Coast Beach and have a good time. Or is it a day that you set apart your new calendar? Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's a day where I prepare for worship. It's a day where I worship the Lord. After that, I serve the Lord. I go for evangelism. I go old folks home. I serve in the church. I teach Sunday school. I do something. And in the evening is family worship time. You and your wife, you and your children. It's a time where this is our new calendar, our new routine. This is what we do now. After we are delivered, week after week, this is our new thing. Is that what you do? Or is it still the old calendar? Week after week, where are you at prayer meeting? Prayer meetings is now your new calendar. You have a new set of activities like the children of Israel had. New set of activities, all of them there to draw you to have relationship with Jehovah. Where are you at prayer meetings? Or is it still the Egyptian life? Every week is enjoy the world as much as possible. Shop, eat, holiday, everything. Once a week, church, that's enough. That was not the calendar for the children of Israel. God set a whole set of activities. Go back, read chapter 28 and chapter 29 of Numbers. So many things. New life in Christ. Where are you at fellowship meetings? Where are you when the word is taught? Do you realize that the church put all these things in? What about FEBC courses, Wednesday night? No, for us it's Wednesday night. For you it's Monday and Thursday night. Monday and Thursday night. You see, so many things, new calendar, new activities in there. Everything now for you to have action-packed Christian life. Or still old life. After work, go out with friends. Or is it new friends? Where are you? What are you doing? Young people, where are you after school? What do you do? What is your new life now in Christ? Or are you still running around with the same old crowd that teach you to sin? Or what about families? The children of Israel, when they move to the new calendar, their focus were all drawn now to live for this God. Their purposes now were for this God. Everything that they did was always for this God. What about your family life after salvation? Still the Egyptian life? Or is father, are you saying, children, we have been saved as a family out of Egypt. We have our new calendar. From now on, we keep this new calendar. Monday nights, Thursday nights, we go study FEBC. Well, if you can't afford both nights, there's homework to be done. One night, for example. Or, every prayer meeting is Tuesday night. Tuesday nights is our appointment time in this new calendar as a family. We will go for prayer meeting. Because it's a time where we pray for the church, pray for each other. It's a time where we fellowship with one another, with our Christian friends, brethren, family. Friday nights is fellowship night. Saturday, time to again for the family together, fellowship. Sunday, same. So now your children, you, your family, you have new purpose because of this new calendar, because of the activities in them. That was why the Lord say, from now on, this will be the beginning of months. And it is to you the first month of the year. He's reminding them, from this month onwards, every year, you have new contents in this new calendar that I give to you. Many of us continue in our old ways, our old life, hardly any change. New Christian, old calendar. New life, old activities. The children of Israel were supposed to move out of that. They did not. They suffered much. Let that not happen to us. The key point of this message that I want to bring across is this. Now, whether you're young, you have a new calendar. Whether you are a single or working person, you have a new calendar, new contents. Whether you are a senior, elderly person, don't think that, oh, I'm old already. You too have a new calendar with new activities in them. everything that the church have set apart. Now, I'm not saying the church is your salvation. Huh? The church is where the Lord has put aside all these activities to help you to grow, to grow together in the faith. But at the end of the day, the Lord knew one thing. That is why he gave them this new set of activities, new routines, new life, new focus. Because the Lord knew that, as we all know the famous saying, it's easy, relatively speaking, to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? It is not easy, but the Lord knew, and as we always say, but it is not so easy, it's more difficult to take Egypt out of the children of Israel. I want to say that again. It's a well-known saying, and it's very true. It's easier to get them out of Egypt than to get Egypt out of them. Same for the believer. It's easier for us, to be saved out of the bondage of the world. Not that it's easy, it costs the Lord an infinite price. But the world in the believer, that is the most difficult thing to get out of the believer. The Lord gave them the new calendar, the new routines to achieve that purpose. Have you been asking yourself, how come my Christian life never grows? How come I'm still in this same rut year after year? How come I'm not growing spiritually, drawing closer to the Lord? The reason is this. You have been keeping Egypt's calendar, the world's routine. What happens in the month of June here? For them, the 6th, 7th month, they have a major festival. What's the month of June in Singapore? Great Singapore Sale. Right? We keep that. Wait. Singapore Sale. Then we all rush to the shopping center. Go crazy shopping. We never get out of all these things of the world that draw us, that we love. What? How do you know if you have the new routine? How do you know that you have Egypt out of you? How do you know? A very simple test. Just ask yourself, what is your calendar filled with? That's all you need to do. Look at Tuesday nights. Look at Saturday. Look at Monday and Thursdays. Look at Sunday after worship or before worship. What fills your calendar? You will know whether Egypt is still in you or out of you. And if you're still struggling with that, my friends, the Lord did not give them these new activities for fun. There is a basic principle in Christian living, and it's this. You get rid of something, your sin. You get rid of Egypt in your life. You cannot leave it empty. You must always replace it with something. I say that again. There's no use putting off the old man. Whenever the Lord says, put off the old man, it's always followed with what? Put on the new man. That's the basic principle of Christian living. You can put it off. I'm glad I forget your names. I'm sure you are glad. Teens, I've forgotten your name. All right, so-and-so. All right, maybe a father says, all right, boy, stop playing your computer game. Okay, put it off. Put it off. Get rid of it. And then the boy does it. And then he say, okay, I study. Finish studying already. And then 2 hours later, what he does? Sit there, the thumb twiddling. 2 hours, 3 hours. Daddy, very bored. 4 hours. Very soon, the thumb goes back to the computer game. Right? Unless you replace it. Put off. You must put on. The Lord did not just take away all these religious festivals, throw them away, put them off, without replacing them. Until you replace your routines with spiritual activities, you are going to go back to the world. Egypt is going to fill you up again. You must put on the new man. Put on the new activities, the new calendars. I hope this is the year. Not the resolution, my friends, that this is the year we all understand in our hearts. As believers, children of the living God, we have new routines in your personal life, your public life, new focus, new life. When Egypt is taken out of you and I, when we begin to replace it with meaningful spiritual activities, it is only then that we will grow. Grow and grow spiritually, and we will become useful to God. When the Lord took them out of Egypt, His aim was for, and His purpose was that they will be used by Him. God did not save you and I for us to continue in Egypt, keep the Egypt calendar, and live the hedonistic life. God saved you and I for a purpose. But if you and I refuse to have those new activities in our family, personal calendars, you and I will continue to be useless in God's hand. You want to live a life like that, year after year after year after year? Or you say, this will be the year, Lord. This is what's going to be new. What was new for the children of Israel? What was new in their new year? All the new festivals, all the new life, all the new engagements around the temple, their fellowship with God. But perhaps you say that, in closing, perhaps you say, that is a very controlling life. Do you feel that? Do you feel that, oh, then my life will be constrained? I want you to look at chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Even before they left, while they were in the land, the Lord spoke to them. But notice that it is not, and the Almighty God spoke unto Moses and Aaron, but rather it was the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah. We know Jehovah, capital L-O-R-D, points to the covenantal nature of God, His covenantal name with His children, His covenant, His relationship with children of Jacob. It would be more natural at this point to say, and the Almighty God spake. Why? Because He have just finished 9 amazing miracles, and He's going to perform the 10th amazing miracles. The book up to this point only shows the power of this living God. It will be only natural for it to be referring to the Almighty God. But rather, the Lord says, the Lord. The Lord, it is the covenantal relationship with God, with this God, that make Him give them the new calendar. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason why, after saving you and I, God put you in a church. In a church where there are so many different activities, different times of the week and the year. All those are there because your covenantal God, the God that has a relationship with you, who wants you to have a relationship with Him, He gives you this new routine, this new calendar to forge the fellowship, to forge that relationship. Now, many of you children, Daddy says, all right, family time. All right, family, go out together. How do you feel? Oh, yeah, family time again. Why is it always with family? I want to be with my friends. Then as parents, you get very hurt. You get very upset. You know, my children, I'm trying to forge a relationship with them, build this bond with them, teach them, care for them, and then all they want to be is with their friends. This is the same with us, with God. The Lord God gave this new calendar, this new routine to say, from now on, all these things are going to bind our relationship. I, your covenantal Lord, want to draw close to you and draw you close to me. All these things are not designed by God or given by the church to make your life miserable. It is to draw you close to your covenantal God. The new life, the new life. How many of you, when you backslide, don't want to come to church? You want to avoid church, right? But no, these children of Israel, whenever they sin, because of the daily, weekly, monthly activities, they are forced to come back to God. All these things that are in place, they help you to come back to God. When you backslide, the best thing to do is not to avoid prayer meeting. It's not to avoid church. It's not to avoid Christian friends. All these new things that God put in place is to draw you back to Him. How many times when you backslide, you come to church, you're down, or in your heart you don't want to repent, and then you start singing the hymns, and then the hymns speak to your heart about God's love to you. Or the hymn stirs you, or the hymn convicts you, or the message convicts you. Or just being among Christians, talking about things above, that draws you back to God. The new routine, the new calendar, it's the covenantal Lord God's provision in love to draw you to Him. Don't look at it as something negative, but something very, very positive. New calendar, new contents, new routine, new life in Christ. May God make that our vision, our vision.